going after Google in court again. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Attorneys general of 36 states plus the District of Columbia are suing Google over the way it runs its mobile app store. It's the latest antitrust challenge brought against one of the big tech giants. Let's get into it with Marketplace's Nova Sappho. Hi, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So I'm losing count at this point. How many legal challenges are there now?
Yeah, right. It's the fourth big antitrust lawsuit brought recently by government agencies, and that's just against Google, Sabri. Meanwhile, Apple is awaiting a judge's decision in a lawsuit brought by Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite. And that case sounds a lot like what the attorneys general are alleging in this latest lawsuit. And what it boils down to is this, that Google, through its Android operating system, is running a monopoly with its app store and then raking it in by taking a cut of in-app purchases.
Right. So you're referring there to the up to 30% commission that Google can charge. Mm-hmm. But like, why shouldn't it be able to do that? I mean, it's Google's app store, often on Google's phones, and app developers are benefiting from that.
That's right. The lawsuit claims Google essentially ran a bait and switch, though. First, it promised Android would be open. You could download apps from anywhere. And then it gradually closed the system up. And a bit of a new revelation, Sabri, the lawsuit claims Google ran schemes to shut out competition from other app stores like Samsung's Galaxy Store. Now, Google has rejected all of this, saying it's nothing more than an effort to help app developers. In a blog post, the company said its mobile operating system is more open than other platforms. So probably alluding to Apple there, Sabri.
Okay. Marketplace's Nova Sappho. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you quit your job, you don't have to answer to your boss ever again, or your company, right? No, actually. There are millions of workers in the U.S. whose employers restrict their ability to work elsewhere even after they've left the job. President Biden is expected to sign an executive order this week that will give some of those workers more freedom after they leave a job and make it easier for some workers to move across state lines. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
The administration wants to curtail what are called non-compete agreements, contracts that bar employees from going to work for the competition. The White House says 30 million people are affected. Ryan Nunn is a researcher with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. He says there is justification for non-compete clauses.
Protection of trade secrets.
But those agreements also limit some construction workers, truck drivers, or hotel workers for what Nunn says are the wrong reasons.
To try to reduce turnover, to try to keep workers from, you know, looking for outside opportunities.
And healthcare workers, too, says South Carolina surgeon Marcelo Hockman. Non-compete agreements can restrict young physicians at the start of their careers.
You now are bound by this contract, which you have signed, and which is very difficult, really, to get out of.
The Biden administration also wants to ban some occupational licensing requirements for, say, hairdressers or accountants. The goal is to make it easier for people to move to another state and still be able to work in their field. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is very down, down 1.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures also down in the 1.4% range, with the Dow future down 502 points. 10-year Treasury yield also shrinking. It's at 1.251%. It is thoroughly and officially summer. We've had the 4th of July, we've had blistering heat, and summer music festivals. They're starting to make a comeback, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
One of the first music festivals of the summer happened in Portland, Oregon, over July 4th weekend.
So, without any further ado, at the 34th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival upriver, ladies and gentlemen, welcome the Bayou Boys.
Oregon had just lifted COVID restrictions, but festival director Christina Fuller says the gravel-covered outdoor venue was still set up for
a socially distanced seating pod format.
600 guests shelled out $75 a ticket to sit in
2-, 4-, and 6-person pods, patio furniture, side table, a little bit of enclosure, and
AstroTurf.
AstroTurf, it really warms the gravel up.
Guitarist John Van Cura of the band March 4th says this is the first show they've played in a year and a half. And while he is grateful for the work...
I've gotten really used to audience right in my face dancing. When everyone's sitting in lawn chairs 6 feet apart, it definitely takes a little getting used to.
Bands and festival organizers are bringing back live music audiences this summer, says industry consultant Karen Allen.
Touring is on, club shows are on. There are huge four-day massive festivals planned for September through November. We're seeing full schedules for 2022.
And sales are strong. Austin City Limits sold 450,000 tickets in just 3 hours for a festival that takes place over two weekends in October. But for artists...
There are a lot of contingencies in the contracts for what if COVID comes back? What if we have to reschedule?
Coachella didn't happen in the spring, but Lollapalooza is on, and so is Bonnaroo later this year. And Ryan Borba at Polestar, which tracks the touring industry, says big festivals and headliner tours are putting intense pressure on an industry that's lain dormant for 16 months.
There's a lot of concern there's not going to be enough staff. It takes hundreds of people to put up these shows. A lot of these people found other jobs. There was literally no income.
And while consumer demand is strong, it's not clear how ready people are to return to giant venues and huge crowds, says Christina Fuller at the Portland Blues Festival.
Everybody is at a different comfort level of getting back into groups. Everyone is not ready for shoulder-to-shoulder dance floors or mosh pits.
Adding a little more uncertainty for the industry as live music comes roaring back. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.